Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Copy of the Word of God, and turn with me to the book of Jude. The book of Jude, which is right before the book of Revelation. Remember, the book of Jude is the corridor book, that before this, we have all of the Christian church epistles, the Hebrew Christian church epistles, these epistles that speak about how to live a Christian life, how to operate a church. And then we have, on the other side of it, the book of Revelation, which talks about end time things. The book of Jude is the corridor book that transitions us from the pastoral epistles, the Christian church epistles, the epistles that explain how to live a Christian life, how to operate a church, into the book of Revelation. So this is a transitional book, and we have found ourselves walking through, watching some of these things that are mentioned. If you don't mind, for context's sake, let's start again at verse number 1 and catch up to where we're at. Notice with me in the book of Jude in verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved into everlasting chains under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Jude? The book of Jude in verse number 9, notice the last phrase, "The Lord rebuke thee." The Lord rebuke thee. In here, we see there's a supernatural power that's involved within God's people. We understand we are in a spiritual warfare. Without a doubt, we're in a spiritual warfare. And we can see some of this mentioned as we go into this, but we also see that there's a connection between verses 8 and 9. Remember in verse 8, which we spoke about last week, it says, likewise these filthy dreamers. So we talked about these filthy dreamers, and notice the three things that these filthy dreamers do. They defile the flesh, despise dominion. Remember, this idea of dominion is authority. They despise authority, and then they speak evil of dignitaries. Dignitaries is those whom honor is due. So we have here these filthy dreamers who rebel against authority, that go against the placement that God has placed in people's life, biblical authority. They speak against dignitaries. Excuse me. Despise dominion. They speak evil of dignitaries. We live in a world where people are rebellious towards authority. They go against God's authority, and that's part of the spiritual warfare. And we need to know how we are to deal with those that are in authority. How do we deal with with those in authority as Christians, as people living for the Lord? Well, we see the hint of it in verse number 9. Yet Michael, the archangel, contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring an accusation against him, or did not bring against him a railing accusation. So this is Michael that said, but the Lord rebuke thee. The Lord rebuke thee. Here we could see these apostates that speak evil against authority. Then in verse 9, we see the example of how did Michael handle someone else that was in authority, speaking about Satan and different authority, speaking against the devil. Michael, the archangel, who, by the way, notice it says the. Let's just take a pause here and then I'll get to my point. It says the archangel. We know that according to the Bible, there's only one archangel. There isn't many. There isn't three. There's one. One archangel, Michael the archangel. We know that angels are set about in ranks. But then we have Satan himself over here. Satan himself is set aside. He is the enemy in the spiritual warfare. And we'll talk more about some of these other things here in just a bit. But I wanted you to notice that this is a spiritual warfare. And here is Michael, the archangel, the definitive case that right here we see one archangel. But notice how Michael, the archangel, dealt with Satan. He did not accuse him. Think about that. He didn't accuse him. But you know what he said? I'm going to let God deal with you. I'm going to let God deal with him. Lord, you take care of him. As we apply this, we understand that there are some times people in authority, whether it's president, governor, Congress, pastor. How do you deal with those that are in authority? Are you in the position to rebuke those in authority? No, you said, I'm going to let God take care of them. You know, part of what the flesh likes to do is find some reason to discount authority, to rail against him. Like we said in verse number 8, we know that we're in a spiritual warfare. We know that these people have gone against God's plan. Verse 8, likewise, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion or authority, meaning they rebel against authority, and speak evil of dignitaries or those that are worthy of honor. Remember what one of the commandments are? To honor thy father and thy mother. You know, sometimes your mother and father aren't perfect. So how do you deal with a mother and father that's not perfect? You let God deal with them. That's kind of a revolutionary concept, right? Instead of getting your boss's face and say, let me give you a piece of my mind. Be careful when you hand out a piece of your mind. You might not have a lot left to use afterwards. But do you know that there's a proper way of dealing things? Let God deal with it. Can you trust God? You know, God could work in other people's lives a lot better than we ever could. Have you ever figured out that in your arguments and your rebuking and your yelling, how many people you've ever convinced by yelling at someone? That they said, oh, wait, I realize I'm wrong. Your Facebook post touched my life. I've re-examined my life. I'm now revolutionized, changed everything. Probably not. That text that you sent, that was the word they need. Oh, they were really against you, but you go ahead and you give them that text and everything crumbles. Oh, that one word, it changed my life. You know, when people in authority are wrong or you perceive to be wrong, you can trust God to work on them because God's their authority. Go to them. Go to God and let God deal with them. And that's exactly how, here's this, and we'll get into this in just a second. In fact, let's just dive right into it a little bit. This is just to wet your whistle a little bit before we dive into this verse here and see this principle here of the Lord rebuke thee. First of all, let's cover this principle here. The evil that surrounds us. The evil that surrounds us. The Bible teaches us that we're contending with the devil. There is evil all around us. If you honestly believe there's evil around you, now do you believe there's evil around you? Do you believe that there's evil things all around you? You know what evilness should do? It should prepare you to pray. It should prepare you for your Bible reading life. It should prepare you to get a hold of God, to have faith in God, to trust in God, because we are in a spiritual war. You can't do anything about the evil around you, but God can. The more evil that you see around you, the more that you perceive the darkness around you, the more that you need to be running to God and say, God, I need you. God, this is you. Notice this context here. Jude mentions the contention over the body of Moses. Now, why? What's going on here? Well, the book of Deuteronomy explains what happens. When Moses died, that he went up to Mount Horeb and he died by himself. And let's just pause here. Let's just see what the Bible says. Hold your finger here. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34. We're coming right back to Jude, so don't lose your place. Deuteronomy 34. We know that Moses is the man that God used in a special way. He didn't even start serving God till he was 80 years old. So if you're under 80, guess what? You still got plenty of time to serve the Lord with what life and health and strength you have left. He didn't even start to serve God till he was 80. He served God by being used to deliver the people, the children of Israel out, led 2.5 million Jewish people, Hebrew people, out of Egypt and led them to the border of the promised land for 40 years. So now Moses is 120 years. He has received the law, the Ten Commandments, the tabernacle plans, built the tabernacle plans, led the people through the wilderness wanderings. And now Moses, 120 years old, is preparing to die. Notice, if you don't mind, what God deals with this in Deuteronomy 34. Notice with me in verse 5. Deuteronomy 34 and verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab. So notice this. Notice in verse 6, we see these pronouns. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, verse 5, died in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him. So we know that last him, and he buried him, that last him is Moses. But who is this he? Who buried Moses? God is the answer. God buried Moses in the valley of the land of Moab over against Beth-Hapor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. Now what we see here is the other part of the story. As we turn back to the book of Jude. So in the book of Deuteronomy we learn that Moses, when he died by himself. Joshua didn't bury him. None of Moses' sons buried him. What happened is that Moses died by himself. And God buried him. God took care of him. He buried him. But what happened afterwards is that Satan wanted to get a hold of the body of Moses. He wanted to take Moses' body. So God had put Michael the archangel there to protect the body of Moses, to keep the body of Moses from being removed, from being taken from Satan. And when Satan started to try to get in there, you know what Michael did? He said, no, God, you take care of Satan. My job is just to guard this. My job is to do what God told me to do. God, you have to take care of Satan. God, you take care of Satan. We understand that there's an evil that surrounds us. Satan has plans that we don't even see. Think about this. Most of us wouldn't even have seen this happening. This was a spiritual realm. No one was present for this confrontation. None of Moses' kids, none of the children of Israel, they didn't leave guards there. This was a spiritual battle that no one understood and no one perceived. Do you know that there's a spiritual battle around you now? There's an evil that's around you. There is Satan and his work. The spiritual warfare is raging. There is an evil that surrounds us. Which brings us to a second thing here. The enemy who seeks to harm us. The enemy that seeks to harm us. Notice, if we don't mind, as we see the enemy clearly identified in verse 9 of the book of Jude. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed around the body of Moses, durst not bring an accusation against him. But we could see here the enemy who seeks to harm us, and that enemy is Satan. The enemy is the devil. We know that the devil has worked to bring all the evils of our society. There's been a destruction of morality and decency. Satan has done everything he can to cause people to turn against God. But you know what Satan's the most proud of? Religion. Satan's most proud of religion. Religion has done more to harm people, to deceive people, to draw people away from God than any other thing. What do we mean by religion? Religion is a system of works that people need to have in order to be right with God. Do you know that you don't have to do anything to be right with God? God has already done everything for you. You return to Him. You seek after Him. You turn after Him. God has already provided the way that we just run to Him, seek after Him, turn unto Him, repent of our ways. But God has already done the work. Jesus died on the cross. Do you know, even to get saved, a prayer doesn't save you? Jesus saves you. All you do when you give prayer is you're accepting the gift. You're recognizing what Christ has done for Him. You're giving Him permission to do what He's already done for you. You see that. However, Satan loves to use religion. Imagine what would happen if Satan got a hold of Moses' body. In the book of Revelation, we could see in the future what is going to happen is that the Antichrist, the man who is set up after the rapture of the church to try to put a worldwide government, a worldwide religion together, that the Antichrist is going to be killed. He's going to die. And Satan is going to inhabit his body, and then he's going to declare himself to be God. What would happen if Satan could have got a hold of the body of Moses? These people who already revered Moses, these Jewish people who already are tempted to worship Moses, imagine if Satan could get a hold of Moses' body and came back and said, "I'm Moses, follow me." The people would have. He could have deceived them. Do you know that religion has deceived many people? And it has. But we're not going with religion. We're going with what the Bible says and following after Him. I was dealing with someone the other day who once again says, "I believe all gods are the same." All gods are not the same. They are not the same. I was in Appleton passing the Hindu church. Did you know they have a Hindu church in Appleton? I passed it and I just was brokenhearted about it. Thinking of how many people are not hearing the truth, but they're grabbing of whatever they can and deceived. But we know that there's an enemy who seeks to harm us. People are damned because they believe in something else other than Jesus Christ being the only way, the truth, and the life. We know that there's an enemy that seeks to harm us. Do you know that the Bible speaks more about Michael and the spiritual warfare? Hold your finger here and let's take a quick look at it in the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel in chapter number 10. The book of Daniel in chapter number 10. In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel has been praying, which is a good thing. He sees lots of things going on, and he went and takes time to pray. And then what happens is that in the midst of this prayer, he gets a visitor. The book of Daniel and chapter number 10. The book of Daniel chapter 10. And notice with me in verse number 12. The book of Daniel chapter 10 and verse number 12. And then he, this is this angel who came up. Let's get a good running start. Let's hit verse 12 where we're at. Verse 11. And he said unto me, "O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee I am now sent." And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, "Fear not, Daniel. From the first time that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But this prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the prince, with the kings of Persia. And I am now come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people." But basically, Daniel, as he's praying, he didn't realize that as he began to pray, that God had sent one of his angels to start working. And Daniel didn't know about that. He just knew he was praying. But as he prayed, God said, "You, go take care of this." And this angel was withstanding the princes of Persia as the princes of Persia were making plans. And he was trying to withstand them until Michael, the archangel, came down and helped him out. And Daniel says, "I didn't know all this was happening." He says, "I was just letting you know what your prayers did. Because of your prayers, I had to go give this king over here a fat lip. Thanks a lot." You know, we're in a spiritual warfare. And our enemy seeks to harm us. And the more that we see this, the more that we realize that we should be praying. We should be praying. But as we're going and seeing what Satan is doing, Satan does his most destructive work in deceiving people through religious means. Do you know that the demons are organized into a well-organized army? They're not an army of chaos. They're an army that is well-organized and know what they're doing. There is darkness around us. There is spiritual warfare going around us. But what are we supposed to do with all of this? Well, we see the example. Even as Michael the archangel, when he stood before Satan, he didn't try to withstand him on his own. He said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Which brings me to the last thing as we go back to the book of Jude and verse number 9. "Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, 'The Lord rebuke thee.'" So here we see how what is being done here. We could see the everlasting refuge we have in the Lord. Michael commits Satan to the Lord. You know, the hardest thing to do in life is to determine the human form from the divine. What are we to do and what is God to do? You know, each of us have our own areas that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do our job and God is supposed to do his job. Sometimes that is the hardest thing to do because we try to go and try to do God's job for him and we're going to fail because it's God's job. Then sometimes we get lazy and we expect God to do our job and God doesn't do that. Let me give you an example. God does not knock on doors. You know whose job that is? That's our job. God's job is to get them saved. We're supposed to go in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. We are to knock on doors, not God. He has his job. We have our job. It is God's job to take care of Satan. What is our job? To pray and to trust him. It is God's job to work with those who are in authority. It is our job to trust God and to pray. We have to realize whose job is what and then do our job. Notice, if you don't mind, as we see here, that Christian people should walk with the Lord and leave things in God's hands. Even Michael, the archangel, the most powerful angel in the rank of angels, when he was dealing with Satan, did not rail against Satan, did not accuse Satan, but said, "Lord, rebuke thee. God, take care of him." That is our example. You know what we see here? Our refuge is the Lord. When we're in a spiritual battle, where should we run to? God. And let God take care of the fight. Let God do the fighting for us. When the battle is raging, we run to God. I heard of a story of a pastor who had a little ankle biter dog. I hate ankle biter dogs, but you know, these little small little dogs. And he was out walking, and he was always on the lookout because the neighbor had this big, huge mastiff or something, just this huge dog, enough that he could eat that ankle biter in just one little bite. Well, that big dog got loose one day as the preacher was out walking his dog, And that big mastiff was coming, and the little dog was scared, and you could tell he was scared. And so the preacher started chasing the other dog off, the big dog off. Go away! Leave! And the big dog started to turn and run. Well, when the big dog started turning and run, that little ankle biter started getting forward and pretending like he was chasing him off. And he was all happy and proud of himself, walking back, you know, thinking that he's the one who chased him off. He's the one that took care of it. Well, isn't that often how we are, the little ankle biter dog? God does the fight for us, but yet we feel like we've done something. We chased him off. You didn't do anything. It was God that handled it. It was God that took care of it. We have to realize there's a spiritual war going on. God can take care of his own work. We're supposed to let him take care of the work. He can do it. That's the problem, is that can you trust him? Can you let him work things out? Is God big enough? Again, we have the example of Michael the archangel, the most powerful angel in the rank of angels. When he dealt with Satan, he didn't try to accuse Satan. He didn't rail against him. He didn't say, "You're a stupid idiot. Let me tell you something." He just said, "God, you deal with him. God, you take care of him." Now, this is the example to follow. If Michael the archangel, in the midst of a spiritual battle, runs to God and depends on God to take care of it, what should you do with your situation that you're struggling with? Run to God. Let God take care of it. Again, here's the principle. You are in a spiritual warfare, and there are more things happening behind the scenes than what you can see. That often things is a spiritual war raging, and you don't even know what's going on. We know that Satan and his demons are organized to try to harm us. How do we deal with it? Let God take care of it. Let God take care of it. You're not big enough to face Satan on your own. I hear people speak so foolishly. "Yeah, if I ever saw Satan, I'd pop him on the nose." Yeah, no. No. Here we have even the example of Michael the archangel. How did he deal with Satan in the midst of spiritual warfare? He let God handle it. There are some things that is our job to do, and there are some things that is God's job to do. The hardest thing in the life is to be able to discern what is my part and what is God's part. If we do our part, we could trust God to do his part. Just run to him. We know that we live in a world that's topsy-turvy, that is against everything. We know that we live in a spiritual warfare. And we know that there are more things going on than what we can understand and what we can perceive. Think about the body of Moses. This is written in the book of Jude, written about 60-something A.D. When did Moses die? Approximately, if I remember correctly, about 1400 B.C. So think about that. For about 1,500 years approximately, nobody knew about this battle, this spiritual battle over Moses' body. But God knew. It was no one else's business. God, like, "Hey, I want to let you know that I've been fighting some battles for you. You didn't even know they were going on." And God's working. Can you trust him? Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time
to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.